Good evening. The brethren and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Brother Mark, for setting the scene for our service with your music. For a opening scripture call to worship, I've decided to read out of Jacob chapter 2, starting in verse 22. Says, think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. But before ye seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. And after you have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches, if ye seek them. And ye will seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, and to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive, and administer relief to the sick and afflicted. As you can see this evening, I thought it'd be nice to have deacons up front, since Wilson was preaching kind of ministry of the Aaronic priesthood and ministry of the deacon. And so I felt led to go that way with this service. Let's open our continue with our service, opening hymn of 383, Father, When in Love to Thee.
Our great and gracious Heavenly Father, we, your saints, have gathered in this your house to worship you, Lord, to hear your word and the words that you've pressed upon Brother Wilson's heart. Lord, we are grateful that you've put him in our life, as we are grateful for this gospel and for your son and his sacrifice. We invite your spirit to join us now and to rest upon the shoulders of Brother Wilson, that your message would reach our ears and burn into our hearts. These things we pray in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Verily thus saith the Lord, I require of all their surplus properties to be put into the hands of the bishop of my church of Zion for the building of my house and for the laying of the foundation of Zion and for the priesthood and for the debts of the presidency of my church. And this shall be the beginning of tithing of my people. And after that, those who have thus been tithed should pay 1/10 of all the interest annually. And this shall be a standing law unto them forever, and for my holy priesthood, saith the Lord. So when we think of a tenth of our increase, we first have to pay our surplus. And he doesn't ask that we pay more than we have. He doesn't ask that we pay anything we want. He asks for a specific amount of what we have above what we need. This was given to Joseph Smith, Jr. in Far West. And it was because the people had asked him, what are we required? And that was what he was told. There were an awful lot of references in the index for my Doctrine and Covenants. And they were on stewards, stewardship, and tithing, and it's all, you'd say it's all part of the same thing, because everything that we have, we're stewards over. We're stewards over our possessions, we're stewards over our time, we're stewards over our actions. There was an awful lot that were there, but there was an awful lot of counsel. One of the things that it seems the church
worried about or had concerns on was misuse of the power and the authority. In the 64th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, there was counsel given, the eighth verse of 164th section, or 64th section, and even the bishop who is a judge and the counselor, that if they are not faithful in their stewardship, shall be condemned, and others shall be placed in their stead. For behold, I say unto you that Zion shall flourish, and the glory of the Lord shall be upon her, and she shall be an ensign unto the people. And there shall come unto her of every nation under heaven. And the day shall come when the nations of the earth shall tremble, and because of her, and shall fear because of her terrible ones. And the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. There are several places that the bishops and the presidency are told that they need to be careful with the way they use stewardship, the way they use the law of tithing. In the 114th section, come on, I marked where all these were, and now I can't read the buttons. The first and second verses of the 114th section. It is only two verses. This is the first revelation that Joseph III presented to the church. So it must have been the church reorganizing, coming together. There was a lot of skepticism and apprehension of what to look forward to. They had seen what the Mormons had done, and they'd seen all the different branches that had tried to take authority. But this first revelation, in order to place my church in a position to carry on the promulgation of the gospel, and as a means of fulfilling the law, the 12 will take measures in connection with the bishop to execute the law of tithing, and let them before God see to that the temporal means so obtained is truly used for the purpose of the church, and not as a power or as a weapon of power in the hands of one man, or for the oppression of others, or for the purpose of self-aggrandizement by anyone, be he whomever he may be. And as I live, saith the Lord, in the manner that ye execute this matter, so shall ye be judged in the last days, or in the day of judgment, I'm sorry. It shows how important tithing was, how important the execution of it correctly would be. And section 70, the 2B. Nevertheless, inasmuch as ye receive more than is needful for the necessities of their wants it shall be given into the storehouse, and the benefits shall be consecrated unto the inhabitants of Zion, and to the generations, inasmuch as ye become heirs according to the law of the kingdom. Behold, this is what the Lord requires of every man in his stewardship. Yea, even I, the Lord, have appointed, or shall hereafter appoint unto any man. Oh, I think I overread. No, it says I'm supposed to read till 3. I'm sorry. And behold, none are exempt from this law who belong to the church of the living God. Ye, neither the bishop, neither the agent who keeps the Lord's storehouse, neither he who is appointed in his stewardship over the temporal things. He who is appointed to administer spiritual things, the same is worthy of his hire, even as those who are appointed to be stewardship to administer temporal things, yea, even more abundantly, which abundance is multiplied unto them through the manifestation of the Spirit. Nevertheless, in your temporal things ye shall be equal, and this not grudgingly. Otherwise, the abundance of the manifestations of the Spirit shall be withheld. Now, I don't believe that the Lord intended all things common and us being equal in all things to mean that we all live in the same size house, that we all drive the same size car, that we all make the same amount of money, or we all dress the same. But it does mean that we repress unnecessary wants, that we look to our brother in need, that we take care of our family in whatever means it takes. One of the things, I haven't held the microphone in the adult class in a long time, and I was asked to do that when this sermon was supposed to be preached in January, and it was, the class was on stewardship, and in the class I heard them talk about Ananias and Sapphira, and you know, there's a couple that listened to the apostles. They heard the gospel. They responded. But then they responded to the point that they took out what they had and they sold it. But something in them decided, you know, we will decide what we give to the apostles. Now, they didn't have to take that and sell it. They didn't have to give any of that to the apostles. But what they did have to do was tell the truth. And they conspired between themselves to hold back. And when Ananias went before the apostles, they asked him, how much did you get for it? And they told him, and he says, why would you rob God? It was yours to start with. And the shock of the Spirit killed him. Now his wife comes in after they've taken and buried him. And his wife comes in and the apostles ask him, what did you pay for the, or what did you get for the property? And she could have told them just what they got. But she kept and she conspired and she lied. And she died right there. And they say they buried them together. So it was not that they didn't believe the gospel. It was not that the Lord required a specific amount of money from them. It's that the Lord requires the truth. He requires our diligence. And I thought, where is the first time that the scriptures talk about tithing? And so I looked in my doctrine cover, or in my inspired version in the back, and the first thing that I seen was in the sixth chapter of Genesis, or the it's the 14th chapter of Genesis, 38th and 39th, or 37th, 8th and 9th verses. And he lifted up his voice, and he blessed Abram, being a high priest and the keeper of the household, or the storehouse of God, whom God had appointed to receive tithes from the poor. Therefore Abram paid unto him tithings of all that he had, or all the riches which he possessed, which God had given him more than that which he needed. So, even back in Genesis, it was a tenth of what was above what we needed. And if I see it in the whole scriptures, what does it say in the Book of Mormon about tithing? So I looked in my index, and it actually only had one reference to tithing in my index. I'm sure there's other places. But it was in the 10th chapter of Alma. And it was the same Melchizedek to whom Abraham paid tithes. And even our father Abraham paid tithes of one-tenth of all that he possessed. So tithing is a core principle of our doctrine. It has been with the church from the beginning, and it will be a responsibility until the end. So we, as a branch or as a church, in our current position, I believe we've become lax in actually keeping a tithing. I don't mean that we don't pay tithing. I mean that we don't keep a record. My wife keeps all our records. And according to the way my business works, she probably keeps pretty good records. But I don't know that I've seen one that says that I have made this much and I paid this much, and this is an accounting to the Lord. I've held, we don't have a bishop to turn it into. We don't, our treasurer does not keep those records for us. But I have heard and know elders that say that they keep that tithing statement. They put it in a folder and they put it in their file. And if it's ever required of them, they can pull it out. Now, our Lord keeps much better records than we do. And no matter how good our records are, says they will not, they cannot bring us back into the presence of the Lord. Only that gift that He gave us, the gift of His Son, can wipe away the sins that we have. But it is by the way we treat each other, by the way we respond to the law in which we've been given, that we'll be judged. And how we work. The one thing the Lord gives us that He was not and does not interfere with is our agency. We can choose every day how we respond, what we do, how we treat others, what we do with our money, what we do with our time. It's a judgment that each of us have to stand before the Lord and answer for. And my purpose tonight was not to tell you or read you these laws and the stewardship, but was to remind you, because we've all heard them. It is something that we teach our children in pre-baptismal classes. We hear from the sermon in many ways. But we need to be reminded regularly that our actions, our responses, and the way we treat others is how we'll be judged.
Thank you, Wilson. I was really encouraged when Wilson said that his subject was stewardship, because when I was preparing the class on stewardship, it was pointed out to me that in George and Ajayim's book that they taught the law of tithing and stewardship, according to him, as much as they talked about faith, repentance, and all the other principles of the gospel. And so it was driven home in my mind how important tithing and stewardship are. And then, so I really appreciate his message. And then here just recently, I was reading in 3 Nephi 11, and I've always known that Christ gives them the book of Malachi because they didn't have that. But it's interesting to me that that he did give them that, and it talks about, will a man rob God, yet you've robbed me? But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then in 13 he says, this is 3 Nephi 11, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that ye may be meet in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will open you the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And so I think it's interesting that Christ even gave those in America that scripture, and the prosperity that they had in the church, and the 200 years of righteous Zionic living. Let us close with hymn number 379. Take my life and let it be. Hymn number 379.
O God, our eternally heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight and the opportunity we have to come and worship thee. We ask as we draw close to this service that the Spirit will be, that is here, yea, even a greater Spirit, will go before us and behind us out into the world as we go through our daily lives, that we'll remember you and that your Spirit will guide and direct our thoughts and our actions, that we may be living examples of you in our lives, and that the light of Christ which is in us will grow brighter and brighter into the perfect day. And we ask this in the name of our Savior, even Jesus Christ. Amen.